Drive by any park or visit an indoor rec center these days, and you're sure to see people, young and old, hitting a ball in what appears to be a life-size game of ping pong. Pickleball has taken the U.S. by storm, and two Lao Americans are riding its wave. Noi Surintone left his home in Tennessee to follow his dream to Wichita, Kansas, where he reconnected with a childhood friend and now fellow pickleball player Matthew Nola. Both men have secured sponsorships, are founding companies, and have become de facto pickleball ambassadors to the Lao community. In 2022, Matthew traveled to Laos and had the honor of formally introducing the sport to his ancestral homeland. Join us as we talk to the two we like to call the Lao Pickleball Guys.
All right.
All right. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of C4 Podcast, Southeast Asian Athlete Achievement Through Adversity. If you haven't already, please like, comment, share our page, follow our page, and, help this podcast grow, right? And we're doing really good with the Hall of Fame and get a lot of interest there. But I think now that we're telling the stories of the athletes, I think people are more interested in hearing about what they're going through. And like it says, it's adversity, right? So we'd love to hear about what the athletes had to struggle through. Like we like to hear about the obstacles, right? It's like it wasn't really smooth sailing for a lot of us. Like myself, it wasn't like it had a lot of adversity, right? So we got two incredible guests coming on today, and I'm gonna let John, my partner, go ahead and introduce them.
Yeah, so we've been, the last couple of episodes, we've been covering new and upcoming sports. We just completed an interview with Owen Pomavong Scoggins, the now number two ranked disc golf player in the world. We also just completed an interview with Jackie Siasone, a pro cornhole player. And today we're excited because we have another up-and-coming sport, pickleball. So if you're like me, you've driven around and you've seen guys kind of and ladies over a little net hitting the ball back and forth and kind of wondered what that is. Well, there's two Lao Americans that this is what they do, or a big part of what they do, and they're rising in the sport, and we're glad to have them on here today. So we've got Matt Nola with us, who just turned pro, and we got Noi Surintone, who's been playing pickleball for a while and has currently uprooted his life, moved from Tennessee to Wichita to chase this game. And both these guys are coming to us out of Wichita. So, hey, I'm going to start with you, Matt. Before we even get into the actual interview about you guys, can you just tell us what the hell is pickleball?
Pickleball, man. You know what? I would sum it up as passion, relationship, community, all those things. And those aren't really what the sport is about, but that's really what it's about, right? Because I wouldn't be talking to you today without pickleball, or I wouldn't have reconnected with my brother Noi in what, 20 years, if it wasn't for pickleball. I wouldn't be wearing this hat because of, if it wasn't pickleball, right? And pickleball is, you know, I've played a lot of sports growing up, but pickleball has been the primary sport that has been the easiest connection for me to meet people, connect with people, to build relationship. And so, man, there's a strong wave coming, and it's called pickleball, and I'm just riding on this train, right? But outside of that, I would say pickleball is a combination between tennis, ping pong, and badminton. But I just hate to say those things because pickleball is its own unique sport. But if you want to visualize it, imagine it, that's the way I say it is, right? Badminton, ping pong, and tennis on one. So.
Okay, right. Awesome. Well, that's pretty cool. Well, yeah, we'd love to hear a little bit about more you guys. We're going to start with you, Noi. We know you moved from Tennessee to Wichita recently, but tell us about your childhood upbringing. Just let us know who you are and how you got into pickleball.
Oh, man. So I started at a young age as far as, a lot of us here, we've moved to the States in 86. So my parents, I didn't get to meet my brothers, but I had two older brothers that were twins, and they both passed away. One because it was just he got sick, and there's no money for medical help. The other one just lack of food, right? So family wasn't the richest. But we made it here to America. And at a young age, about 7, we started, my dad got us into table tennis. And my dad was a soccer player back home in Laos, and he was pretty good. So I think all the boys, there was 4 of us left, and I think we got the genes from him as far as our athleticism. So we started playing table tennis, and I mean, it didn't take long. We picked it up pretty fast. By the age of 8, almost 9, I was for myself, I was the number one player in the nation for boys under 10 in table tennis. My brothers were top 5, I believe, so at their age range. So we picked it up pretty fast. Got sponsored by a company from Germany. And it just became life. You know, that's all I knew. It was just table tennis. And at a certain point, you know, being a kid, you want to be a kid, right? But because we were so good in the sport and everywhere we went, it was like a circus, right? Like people were gravitating. We would be on newspapers. They'll catch us on the news. They'll, you know, have interviews with us and so forth, wherever tournaments we go to, we'll get a lot of publicity. And so it just became a job to me. It went from being fun, to, I love it, to, man, I just want to be a kid. How do you be a kid, right? And then just the pressure of having to be good because you're on top, right? Just you're the number one guy, so you have to stay on top. So not knowing what that was like, and my dad has never been in that position, so he did the best he could to try to motivate us and keep us hungry for that, you know? And I think for me, that transition from the mentality of our parents to being in America, a kid in America, it changed, right? Like we had a different mindset, and he couldn't, it wasn't his fault, but he couldn't relay the message that he wanted to, right? So for me, table tennis became such a burden, and I got to the point where it was just a job, and I didn't like it, I didn't enjoy it, but I couldn't quit because you didn't want to let your parents down, right? So you fight through it, you fight through it. And so I think for me, it was such a big part of my childhood. I eventually gave it up at 15, 16 years old. And at one point, I don't even tell my parents this, so when they watch this podcast, they're probably going to call and get upset with me. But I get to the point where I'm like, man, I despise them for pushing me so hard. You know, he pushed me so hard that I hated that sport. But a funny story, we went to train. I won my age division for a regional in table tennis, and they sent us out to Colorado Springs to train with the men's and the women's national coach in the Olympic Training Center. So we go train, and there was this kid that nobody wanted to play with because he was terrible. No, we didn't even know how he made it there. Anyways, long story short, a couple years later, that guy that nobody wanted to play with was the face of men's U.S. table tennis Olympic team. And I was kind of upset, right? Because I was like, I gave it up too fast. We should have stuck it out. But it was very frustrating because of just how the difference, our parents and us, we just didn't communicate properly. And I think my dad wanted good for us. He just didn't know how to go about it, right? He did it the way he knew how to do it. So, but again, so I despised him for the longest. And then I picked up pickleball 5 years ago. And everything that my game is just predicated off of table tennis. So when people watch me play, they're like, dude, I've seen you play ping pong and it looks just like you're out there playing ping pong, right? So then I go from despising my dad to this, oh man, I can't thank him enough, right? So it's pretty cool how it becomes full circle that something that I enjoyed in the beginning, I then despised taking that skill and taking it to a different sport, and it translates over to be where I'm at now. So it's pretty incredible.
Cool, very nice.
That's awesome. Well, Matt, why don't you introduce yourself, tell everybody a little bit about your growing up, and you were born in the Nong Khai refugee camp, I believe,
Ooh,
along
remember.
With several of our other guests. So tell us the story, man.
Hey, Savadi, again, thank you. And I and John and Aiko for having me. So it's an honor, right, to just be amongst you guys and to have the opportunity and the platform to just chop it up here. So about me, I was born in Nong Khai, Thailand. My parents are from Laos, Vientiane, Chan, Bang Bien, Siang Kuang area. My mom is Siang Kuang. She's Chinese and Thai Dam and Lao. My dad is Lao and Thai Dam. So we got a little bit of everything in us. So yeah, a lot of mixture, right? But yeah, we, I was born in Nong Khai refugee camp on our way to America, and everyone kind of has their own story of how we got here, right? Immigrated to America. And so it was a challenge from the beginning. I got to America at 2 years old in 82, I believe. Got here, we struggled in the factories and in Western Kansas, the slaughterhouses my dad worked in. And then, that made us money for a while. So, and kept my parents busy. We worked out there in rural Kansas. They did, actually. And I grew up in everyone's backyard, right? In our neighbor's backyard, the mobile home park and trailer park. That's how I started in sports. I had three younger brothers, Mark, Luke, and John. My parents didn't push us to do anything. I didn't have any accolades. It was just, here's a ball, go play with the neighborhood kids, right? So I grew up, tough, like everyone else. But it wasn't until probably freshman year in high school, that's when my hunger for competition, for athletics and sports came. I wanted to play tennis. I started out in basketball, loved it, but I wasn't going to go anywhere with basketball. I was the smallest kid. But I started playing tennis freshman year, tried out just because there was some motivation out there of the other gender. So I was like, okay, let me try this new sport. I was the 19th man on the team. 18 was a cut. Coach felt bad for me. 19th, you made it. You're not even on JV, Matt. You're on like the bench of JV. So that season, tennis is a very, what do you call it? Different class. I don't know, a social class sport. I don't know how do you call it, but I got on the tennis team. I sucked very bad, but I made it. But it drove me so hard that summer came. I spent 6, 7, 8 hours a day in the summer dragging, my bag, my balls, whatever racket I had to the local tennis court, and just worked, served, worked on my game, worked on the backboard. Until sophomore season, I made varsity. So on a team that took third in state, right? So that's, that kind of drove me. But I also wanted to be top in the team. One thing that I really remember from one of the coach that told me, that said to another parent, said, hey, Matt's probably not going to make it, right? He doesn't, all the kids who play top level tennis, they have coaches, they're playing in private clubs, and Matt has none of that. He's playing in local parks. And so, and he was right. I never made it to the top of the team, but I was happy to at least be part of the conversation, be part of a, top three in the state. But that drove me even further, I think, outside of just high school athletics, right? I was very motivated after that. But long story short, I had a few D3 offers, JUCO offers, but for tennis, couldn't pursue that just because, the oldest of four kids, you gotta take care of the family, you gotta drop the brothers off at school. Athletics wasn't really in part of our future, right? Gotta finish school. Fast forward, here I am today, doing what I'm trying to do. I mean, I feel like I don't deserve to be part of this conversation. I'm 42 years old, trying to do what I can to really grind and hustle. But pickleball has been such a really ray of hope for me right? I would never thought I'd be able to play professionally in anything, but you know, this is just a testament of guys like Noy, Jocelyn, really putting me under their wing to help me propel in, you know, saying, hey, if you got a dream, if you want to work hard at it, I'm one of those guys that wake up at 5:30, 6 in the morning, go out and drill, you know, for an hour, 2 hours a day, right? So I can be, so I can at least be part of that conversation. So yeah, you know, 42-year-old, I feel like I've just hit, I haven't hit plateaued yet, right? I still got a long way to go, and I'm ready to work, continue to work. So
now you turned professional. How did you go about getting your professional status?
Oh, I don't think, you know what, in pickleball it's kind of tricky. I don't think I've turned professional. I played in a professional tournament. And let me backtrack to the story real quick here. A month and a half, 2 months ago, I played in a professional tournament. Some people would say I was very ambitious, never played in the singles division before. And I'm out here in Vegas playing in my first pickleball professional association, right? And I'm a 42-year-old competing in a division where I've never played in any term in a singles division. It's unheard of. You've got like 17, 18, 22, 24-year-olds playing in these divisions that are former professional tennis athletes, right? D1 athletes. And I said, okay, Matt, let's just go there and score 1 point. That's all I'm hoping for. Score 1 point. That's it. I don't care, right? I just want to say I've competed. Yeah. I've scored more than 1 point, and I proved myself. And, you know, let me bring you to one of my first match that I lost my first match, but it put me in the back row. My second match, I was okay. I'm up eight to three, right? I'm like, wow, this is it. I'm okay with losing and going home. But I said to myself, hey, what if I could pull this out? I can share this story with my son and with my parents, with my family, my friends, saying, hey, if I can notch a win under my belt under any kind of a professional tour, right? This would be a story for the ages. And, you know, lo and behold, I said, hey, God, if you, you know, if you hear me, if you want me to win, if you just send me your favor, give me your energy, give me your strength, you know, just will me through this. And, you know, I eventually won 15-3 in my first match. To go on to win two more matches is, to me, is a miracle in itself. And it's very motivating, right? So, yeah. So I don't call myself a professional. I don't want to do the sport wrong. I don't want to do those athletes wrong. They're on a different level, you know. But I'm proud of what I've accomplished, and I'm going to march forward and work even harder than before, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Noy, I mean, you went so deep into the sport. You know, you grew up in Murfreesboro and Nashville. You decided to pack up and move to Wichita, Kansas. Tell us about what motivated you to do that and what you're doing there to bring pickleball to the people of Kansas.
Oh man, it was wild, man. I had a guy here that Matt knows well. Again, he could go pro if he wanted to. I think he's just busy with life, but a guy named Chris Heck called me one day out the blue and was like, hey man, do you you want to move to Kansas? And I was like, not really. He said, but it's for pickleball. And I was like, yeah, well, do you want to move to Kansas? So it took a lot of convincing, man. I didn't want to go to Wichita. The first time I visited, I enjoyed it. But I was like, man, I can't see how people live like this. There's just no way. I'm from Nashville. There's a big, I just like the, even though I don't go out and stuff like that, like I love the fact that Nashville had a lot to offer, right? Whether I went or not, it just had a lot to offer versus to me, I'm like Wichita, it's just pickleball. What was it? That's all they do.
Was it all rural? Was it rural country?
Wichita's a city, but it's a smaller city.
It's a small city, but it's got a lot of people. I think 375, 380,000, Matt, is it somewhere around
Six,
there?
Over 600K.
Over 600,000. Mm-hmm. See, that's how much I know about a coach. Yeah. But
Just but didn't have the Nashville feel, huh?
It didn't have that Nashville feel. But but Chris just kept pursuing me because he, you know, he played against me when he came to Nashville. And we talked a lot. Now, Chris was the guy that had this offer on the table, and he couldn't take it because he had a lot of things going on. So he asked me, you know, he was like, hey, man, I think you'd be great for it. So finally convinced me to come, and I came for an interview and did the whole thing. Again, Matt and his family really made me feel comfortable, and the Asian community here, really made me feel comfortable, and they were able to, it was a ripple effect, right? They introduced me to the pickleball community, and it just got out. So getting me out here was the one thing. And then coming here, I was nervous, man. I had no idea, you know, this is the first time ever that Wichita has had a director of pickleball. So I think the city and myself, we didn't know what to expect, right? We're just kind of, let's just give it a go and see what happens. So you just came up with different programs. We've started for the summertime, we had the kids clinic. Then we had the adults clinic that I set up. Then we have drills, beginners drills, intermediate drills, where people will come and you just give them different drills to work on and just kind of fine tune their game, set up a bunch of leagues. So I got right now 5 leagues going. And when I first started the leagues, I had somebody there that was telling me at the facility that was telling me, it's never going to work. They're not going to come out here. Right. Which is crazy because those leagues now produce, I mean, we end up with over 200 participants. Right, which is pretty wild. And that's on a 6-week cycle. So after 6 weeks, we take a week off, we go back 6 weeks. The beauty of it is it's not just the same people that's playing in these leagues. The leagues are, it's getting out, words are getting out, and different people are coming in. So I'm able to meet a ton of new people. Drills is the same way. When I first started, it was the same group of people that was coming. And so now it's to the point where we're having to cap it off because we just can't take anymore. But word's going out. I've gotten emails from my boss, the head guy at the city, saying, hey, man, these are emails that's flying in from just different people. So that's cool to see, you know. But my goal here is to really grow the sport. But like Matt said, like pickleball to me correlates so much with life. You know, I think one of the biggest things for me, what people tell me is when I'm on the court, it's pretty calm and very fluid in the way I play, right? But pickleball is a very chaotic sport. Like your opponent can really put a lot of pressure on you and make you feel like you're just out there trying to survive against this wave of opponents that could really crush you, right? So to stay calm and all of that. So I correlate. So now I'm doing a lot of private lessons, but just really correlating life to that too, you know? So like Matt said, I think it goes beyond the sport, right? I think I've met so many people that I consider friends that are 60, 70, 80 year olds in this sport because of that. And they've been very helpful for me. So for me, my ultimate goal here is to continue to not just build the leagues, but to make the improvements in people. The one thing that I've worked on the most is you're able to see now Wichita has so many great players, right? There's 4 now that's on tour that's top 20, right? There's 3 in the top 10 and 1 guy in the top 20, probably 15 maybe. But so there's a ton of talent here. And the younger guys that's coming in, there's even more talent, right? And I know I've seen Matt take some of the younger guys under his wings, you know, because we ultimately want to continue to bring, have the pros here, right? I mean, there's a lot of guys that could go pro here in Wichita, and we want to be the ones that can help catapult that, right? And just taking them under our wings. And things like that. So that's where we're at. But ultimately for me, as far as what I'm doing, I really want to see Wichita become the mecca of pickleball, right? And I know it's hard because we're competing against States like Arizona, Florida, California, that the weather's nice all the time. In Kansas, it's getting cold now, so, and we don't have a lot of indoor facilities, so we're fighting that. But the great thing is we've done so well in pickleball, and with all the programs that's being ran now, the city is able to invest $3 million in a pickleball complex. And it's got 18 courts and two championship courts that's going to have 1,000 seats wrapped around it. So it's a pretty big deal. So now my goal as the director is to bring a national tournament into Wichita and showcase the pros that we do have and showcase the talent that we do have, right? So that's my next big, big goal with where I'm at now.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, one of the cool things about it, because Matt, you kind of were telling me about a few days ago when we were hanging out. You know, we were at Matt. We'll just give a quick shout out to Matt's auntie, Lao auntie, not biological auntie, who owns Rollin' Donuts right here in Elgin.
Rollin' Donuts.
Yeah, Rollin' Donuts. If you're in the area, check it out. Great coffee, great donuts and other goodies, and actually right in the library, so it's very convenient if you want to grab a book and try it. But, you know, Matthew was talking to her auntie about giving it a shot, right? I mean, so it's really something that people of all ages and abilities can do, right?
She's in her late 50s, 60s, and she's playing pickleball. And that's wow. Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible. Well, great work, Noy. We're excited to kind of see how that all comes together. Something really exciting where you guys are taking the sport is, Matt, you recently went across the world back to Laos and had the opportunity to formally introduce the sport there. I mean, tell us about that.
Yeah. So, you know, the joy of pickleball that I've experienced in the past 2 years and seeing how relationships can be built and bridges can be just built because of pickleball. I was like, you know what? I really want this for our community in Laos, right? Among our Lao people too, for us to be able to have the opportunity to bring pickleball to the country of Laos. And I was like, man, how am I going to do this? Where do I start? But you know, I'm a dreamer and I love to just dream and cast visions and really just pursue whatever. Right. So, and you know, I said, okay, you know, how am I going to do this? I go back to Laos quite a bit, Thailand quite a bit. And I figured, okay, let me start out to the top. Let me work my way to from the top. So I emailed the embassy in D.C. saying, hey, who heads the Olympic Committee? Who heads the sports committee? And so, you know, they said, oh, this guy, just email the embassy over in Laos. And then, you know, after some time has gone by, I was like, okay, let me just Google. So the guy, Dr. Put Simalavong, His Excellency, the Minister of Sports and Education, Dr. Put Simalavong is the, I found out his contact. And long story short, I was able to get a meeting with him through my aunt, Aunt Kampau, Her Excellency. She's an ambassador to China. So I secured the meeting with her. And so I bought a ticket like 2 weeks before and just flew to Laos on just hopes and dreams, right? Of figuring out, wait, what is my strategy? What is my plan here? I was able to go to Laos, bring some gear from Chicken and Pickle, who is one of my sponsors, and also from Precise Power with Noise Paddle Company, and say, hey, I want to be the first person to bring pickleball gear to Laos and say, hey, let's formally introduce this to our schools, to our communities, just because this is such a beautiful sport, right? I want to be a pioneer. So I met with Dr. Poot, His Excellency, and we just had a great time just sharing about life, passion, joy, community, how we can partnership with each other to just build each other's community up, right? And so he was like, Matt, the door is open for you and whoever wants to come over here. We welcome you with open arms. You know, we love how you love the Lao people, right? And so that's what basically it came down to. And he is like, I'll give you contact with some of my staff to help you get started. And so we're in the beginning stages. We want to open up some schools, partner with them in some rural areas, give back to the community, and also introduce pickleball out there. So I think the next trip probably will be in March. I'm looking forward to that trip. I plan on playing the Asia Open in Thailand, and at the same time, going to Laos to bring equipment there, paddles there, and put it in at least the universities, right? So that's the whole story. And my friends over there, they're excited for pickleball, and waiting for us to be there. So
yeah, and that's a great vision. We just had another young lady prior to this,
Jackie.
Yeah, and her vision of bringing home, just doing something for the country, right? She had her own vision, and it's nice for, we had this opportunity to come, to come here when we were young, or some of us are born here, some of us came here when we were little, but we had more opportunity to succeed here than the athletes, back home in Laos. And and then, to become successful and then to go, and then to go back and give back. I think that's a great, that's a great way to give back. And that's a great way to bridge the Laotians in Laos to the Lao Americans in the US, so very
Absolutely.
Awesome.
There's a lot of need over there, and I think that's, I'm so thankful that God is just still putting a burden in my heart and say, hey, Matt, you're meant to be there one day, to live there one day. And I just want to be obedient. Right.
Yeah. So,
and I want to give back like whatever I have, I want to see my people come up,
Well, it's like Noah was saying earlier about competing and then the coaching aspect of it. I too got burnt out of competing. It became work, in the beginning it was fun. It was training. I was building muscles. Then I started competing. And then I saw the business side of it, right? Then it became work. Then it wasn't fun. And like now I have more joy in coaching people and helping people reach their goals, health and fitness goals. So there is that true saying, man, when you give, you receive, So
right.
That's very, very true.
No, yeah. That's wonderful too. Like what Matt was saying, the beauty in this sport, I think, and it's just to me, and I haven't been back yet. But I've seen pictures. I think in back home in Laos, it's still a third world country. So it's not, we're not going to be the biggest, fastest, strongest people. Right. But the beauty in that's in pickleball is you don't have to be the biggest, fastest, strongest, right. It's a chess match. I think our hand-eye coordination, I think I would put Asia, top, when it comes to that. Look at China and their table tennis, right? Most of the dominant table tennis players are from Asia, So I think hand-eye coordination is very important. And I think that this sport allows for that, where I know I follow you guys, and you have some of the D1, football athletes, the Malachi Moores, and that's playing D1 college. You got to have that body, you have to have that agility, and not everybody have that. And that's the beauty in this sport, is you don't need to have that, right? It's just a lovely sport, man. That's the one. That's why it's just going to forever be, I think it's just going to explode, because body shapes, types, whatever, right? Anybody can play this sport.
Yeah, and I got to say, there's so many good badminton players, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of Laos and Lao American community. This is like a perfect segue into this new sport. So you're right. I could see some great players, with your guys' help, right? Bringing them up, introducing them to it, either Lao American or, it would be awesome one day to see players from Laos, right, on the national scene, international scene in this thing.
So does that mean that Noy and I will have to do a match with you and John, Echo?
Well, we got to play doubles, man. Co and Noy and me and Matt or something like that, maybe.
Let's do it.
We do bench press contest or something, some curling.
Yeah, Co, you
I think we could take him, Co. I got our money on him.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I have no hand-eye coordination. That's why working out, I just pick it up and I put it down and I just do it over and over, man.
Oh, you know what?
I had none of that.
Tim Tebow and Gronkowski is playing pickleball.
That's crazy.
Huge. That's
crazy.
Yeah.
Nowitzki was playing.
Yeah. LeBron owns a team, you were telling us recently.
Now, is there an advantage to taller guys playing? Like, if you had to play, like, someone that size, would there be a – I mean, how would that even work? Like,
I feel like at some point, because I'm tall, I'm over 6'2", it becomes a liability in some sports, right? Certain sports, it's like a giant advantage. But some of these, mm-hmm. like, hand-eye – quick agility sports, your arms got to move from way over here to here. You can't do it, right? So I think there is, it's probably not, or there's probably a limit, right?
Yeah, there's a limit, but you know, the taller guys, maybe 6'2" to 6'4", they have a good reach, right? And by the time they get up to the net, you know, it's such a small court, they're ready. So you have to be really on point. Yeah.
Also, it's actually their height is actually a disadvantage. Okay.
Yeah, it could be.
Not always, because there. If you look and there's a, it's called the kitchen, right? So you can't volley a ball, which means take the ball out the air, mm-hmm. in this little kitchen, right? You have to be behind this line to hit it. So when those 6'4", 6'5" guys are at that line, and you have to hit a short ball, it's hard to hit a short ball when they're that tall. They can reach, versus I'm 5'7". You know, it's easier for those guys to hit a shorter ball to me because my reach isn't as long. So there are disadvantages. I think the disadvantage for me with the taller guys are when I'm able to play the fast game and I'm able to jam their body, right? Like John was saying, their paddle speed, their hand speed is so long and lengthy that it's hard for those guys to react to a faster ball.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, that's, I think, the cool thing about it, right? Like you said, it's a chess match. You got to figure out the advantages and use them, right? Mm-hmm. Tall guys got to use his reach. Shorter guys got to use that speed. Yeah. And it's just game on. That's cool, man. Well, Matt had mentioned about your paddle company, Noi. Tell us, man, what you're doing there.
Oh, man. So we started a paddle company, and it's called Precise Power. Again, I met Matt through a church camp. And so one of our biggest things for me was, how do I, as a believer sharing my faith, how can I use pickleball as a platform to really promote my faith, right? And be able to share my beliefs with the world. And so with Precise Power, I got a linked in with some investors, and so our paddle is shaped, it's called an edge guard. So what's on the outside of the paddle that wraps around to keep everything together? For us, Matt would know that it's red, right? In the story in the Bible with the Passover. So our theme is just that, you know, when we're out there, it's the blood of Christ that's protecting us, right? And so to me, that's the story behind that right now. Also, I love being able to incorporate that. But for what we're doing with that, like I said, it's to really be able to just show people, right? I mean, I want to be an inspiration. I know Matt and I spoke quite a bit, and we just want people to understand, especially our people, that there's nothing in life that we can't do, right? I think our family have. I think for me, my parents have shown me and proven to me that they left everything behind and no excuses, right? We're either going to sink or swim, and they found a way. And so I just want to continue that mentality. And I hope that through that, being the Asian, being Laos and having a pickleball company, that people in our community are able to look at that and say, man, I could be whatever I want to be. This guy is doing this, you know, he's done this, he's doing this, now he's doing this, you know, why can't I do that? And for me, ultimately, just want to be the inspiration. Just let people know that, hey, whatever you put your mind into, if there's no excuses and you work for it, you're going to get it. So that's where we're at with the company. Of course, we're working on the high-end stuff, working with Matt as well. We want to be able to sponsor and send paddles back to Laos and be the primary, right? And then be the Precise Power be in Laos and let them know that, hey, it's a Laos kid that moved to America that, you know, the paddles you guys are playing with, hey, you know, this is the dream. Like, you guys can have it too, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, just to be that inspiration for people, man. It's, I think it's like O said, it's what's better than giving back, you know? When you get, it's fun, it's great. But for me, it's where I'm at in my job. It's the most satisfaction. And Cole, I think you'll know too, that when you're able to take a talent and they start believing in themselves and you see them get better and they're more hungry and they want to continue and they come to you for more and they want more and more and more, it's, there's nothing that beats that. It's, I could be the number one guy in pickleball and it doesn't even compare to what, to that satisfaction of giving the energy and knowledge to those guys.
Yeah.
Well, totally just,
go kind of big. I might need him for a bodyguard. This is like a Goldberg, the live Goldberg.
Hey, do you want to bring back Lau's hiring his bodyguard?
They used to call him the big Lau. He hung up. He hung up. See,
like, you know, I got the same vision, man. I love, I'm the skinny little kid from Laos that came to America at four, you know, I'm picked on and all that. So I started working out. Then I started building muscle. Then I was like, man, I want to be a pro bodybuilder, right? At a very young age. But my parents didn't support me, man. Nobody pushed me. They all laughed. They all like, you ain't going to do it. You can't do it. You're too small, you know, and they're being realistic. And I hear that from the inside, I hear that from the outside. So that motivated me, you know, to be one of the top bodybuilders in the world. So, you know, being a turning professional, competing in the Mr. Olympia now, yeah, you know, love to go back to Laos. And at the way you guys are promoting pickleball, I would love to promote health and fitness, you know, or bodybuilding competitions, right? So I don't know. I mean, you got a contact and went with the talk. You know?
Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, you guys got.
I loved it, man. I mean, they just had a Facebook post. John showed me, right? That bodybuilding, Lao bodybuilding, when Vientiane set up show, and
yep.
Looked like it was a pretty good turnout of people, you know. I mean, they're growing, man. I mean, and with a limited information out what they have, you know, limited resources, you know, they don't got the best equipment. I mean, I think they got some decent gyms over there. I know in Thailand they do, but not in Laos.
They do. But if you would have said, okay, when I was set foot in Laos in 98 or 97, man, you'd have no idea what the gyms out there. You'd be like, wow, it's crazy. And I went to a fitness center inside of it's in the city, but so archaic, to say that, to put it very nice, very archaic.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, and I think it would benefit for someone like you, you know, of your experience and wisdom and all that you've been through to go there and just pour into young people, right? I think
definitely.
Yeah. And I mean the Minister of Sports and Education, incredibly.
Does he run all sports?
Yeah. So well, he does federation. So Matthew's actually trying to start a pickleball federation because it doesn't exist. There is a bodybuilding federation, though it's fairly in its infancy. And there's a very tiny swimming federation which we're working with. You know, my daughter's a swimmer, and there's two swimmers from Wichita, Kansas. As well.
Let's go, Wichita.
So we're working on some things there too with them. So I think the future of athletics in Laos, it's coming up.
You got a building that's got pools. You got a building that's got courts. You got a building that's got a training facility. Throw some basketball courts in there, and you know, it'll give a place for kids to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, health and fitness, really, you know, just health and fitness, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. But yeah. I just want to touch on one part of the story that just so the listeners know, the ironic thing is you guys met as kids as a church camp, right? Went your separate ways. There was no social media. We didn't have IG back then, right? And then here you end up in the same sport back together in Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah.
I mean, what was it like when you guys kind of reconnected? Matt, why don't you answer?
Oh, man, I was like, wow, Noy, you know, I have his, you know, I love his family. They have like three, four brothers and sisters, or more than that, right, Noy?
Yeah, it's two now, so.
Yeah.
Two brothers and one sister now.
Right. And they, you know, their family is amazing, right? Good family. Love him. We would connect really well. And when we were younger, and then just to see him in Wichita, I was like, what are you doing in Wichita and playing pickleball, right? Because Noy started like a few years, 2, 3 years before me. And I was a hater of pickleball. I was just like, what? It's just for old people. And then he inspired me. Like, wow, this guy is performing at such a high level in pickleball, too. And when I saw him, I was like, man, when Noy comes to Wichita, I was like, man, he's to bring a lot of hope for our community, for the Lao community, right? We can find a way to work together, partner together, just to build this community up together. Because, you know, pickleball, I hate to say it, but it's kind of similar to tennis too. It's very exclusive to certain groups, and you know, and I to me, I like I want to break down all barriers, like right, for it to be available for everyone, you know, at any time, especially the skill and training, right? Everyone got their own cliques. I'm only playing with certain level players. This to me, like, I want to get everybody better, right? I want to be better. I want to be part of that conversation. And so that's my like mantra. Break down every wall, every barrier for everyone. And so no, when I said my son Noy and he moved here, it's been a blessing, right? For him to come here and make a really quick impact on our community. And now hopefully, you know, we can continue that where we're doing right now, right? So I'm excited, you know, got another brother here to really push forward our community, this whole community, all inclusive, white, yellow, black, brown, red, everybody, right? So it's a great story, and this is just the beginning. Not just for me and Noy, for us four right here, you
That's
know, we're gonna
right.
be pioneers. So
John and I got some history in 2006, 2007. John was living in San Diego. There was a magazine called Lao Roots.
I live down the street
I
from
know
Matt.
that
Pretty that we
magazine, Lao Roots.
we live
So
like 2 minutes apart, right, Matt? In the east side of Chula Vista.
yes.
That was funny. But anyway, go ahead, Co.
And I had no idea, but John wrote the article on me. I ended up getting the cover for that. And then, you know, at that time, it was Giovanni Messina that wrote the article,
My
right?
real name,
So
that's my legal name.
he ends up
Love
moving to Elgin, and he calls himself John Messina, right? Like I couldn't put two together. You know, he's like, I wrote an article about
it.
you back in like early 2000s. Like, oh, that was you? It's like, yeah, now I made time
Wow.
with Giovanni and John. So
That
yeah,
is so
cool.
cool.
But yeah, but that's
Man,
cool. Yeah, Matt and I used to live like 2 minutes apart. Now Co and I live just a couple minutes apart. It's a full
that
circle,
is
man. So
funny.
yeah, we got some good things we could all do
Crazy.
together, guys, supporting each other
Crazy. It's crazy.
and doing this. So, well, hey, man, I think that's all I have for the interview. Co, any final thoughts?
No, thank you for watching another episode of C4 Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. You know, hit us up with, you know, comments and any suggestions on athletes, Southeast Asian athletes that you'd like to see, or any sports that you would like to feature. Go ahead and send us a message either through the Lao American Sports page, Facebook, IG. Just hit us up.
Yep, and that's a wrap, folks. Thanks.
Thank you guys.
You guys.
All
Bring
right.
the pickle.
Yeah.
Huh?
The C4 Podcast is brought to you by the Lao American Sports Hall of Fame. Visit us on the web at laoamericansports.com, celebrating the first, inspiring the next.